This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا والمبعوث رحمة للعالمين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أما بعد, all praise due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again for this beautiful gathering that we get together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah azza wa jal and to know more about Allah azza wa jal and the messengers and the prophets of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from the true followers of the prophets and messengers, in particular our beloved Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last week we spoke about the first Arab prophet and messenger, Prophet Hud, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to Ad. And as we mentioned last week, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there were four Arab prophets. There were four Arab prophets. Prophet Hud, that we spoke about last week. Prophet Shu'aib, that we'll talk about inshaAllah in upcoming weeks. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our Prophet tonight, Prophet Saleh. So tonight inshaAllah we'll be talking about another Arab prophet and messenger. His name is Saleh. And Saleh is an Arab name, which means someone who fixes things, someone that changes things. Someone that fixes things, someone that changes things, someone that's always trying to correct people. So Prophet Saleh, and Saleh also means an upright, someone who's righteous, someone who's pious. That's what Saleh means. So it works like someone who's trying to fix the corruption, or someone who's righteous, or someone who's an upright, a reformist, if you want to call him. So the word Saleh, that's what the word Saleh means. But obviously we're talking about a prophet and messenger here, someone that's beyond piety, or beyond just calling someone pious or righteous. We're talking about them as righteous, we're talking about them as pious or people. Saleh alayhi salam. As we spoke last week, that Hud alayhi salam, he is from the offsprings, he's from the children of Nuh alayhi salam. We mentioned this before, that Nuh alayhi salam is the second Adam. All mankind, all human beings go back to Nuh alayhi salam, because after the flood, it was only Nuh alayhi salam that had children and offsprings. So Hud alayhi salam goes back to one of the grandparents, that goes back to his grandparents, grandfathers, to Nuh alayhi salam, and that was Ad. Likewise, Saleh also goes back to Ad. So Hud and Saleh will meet at one point, and the point that they meet at is Ad. So Ad is one of the great grandfathers of Hud, and also one of the great grandfathers of Saleh. So Saleh is an Arab prophet. From the four Arab prophets of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, and they were Hud, Saleh, Shu'aib, and our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed the tribe and the nation of Ad, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Hud, Prophet Hud, and the people of Hud and the followers of Hud, and we mentioned what happened and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed his nation because they refused to follow him, and they refused to follow the path of Hud alayhi salam and the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After few generations from Hud alayhi salam, people start to go back to kufr, and shaitan start to penetrate their life, and they start to resort back to kufr, and they start to resort back to paganism and worshiping idols, which is the unfortunate thing, and that's one of the things that the shaitan always works on, to deviate people, mislead people, take people off track, derail people, misguide them. And that's why we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that guided us to Islam. That's a great name from Allah azza wa jalla upon us. And that's the job of all the prophets and messengers, for them to guide their people to Islam. So Saleh is an Arab prophet and messenger. And he is from the children of Thamud. And Thamud is the son of Ad. So Ad is one of the grandfathers of Hud, and also one of the grandfathers of Saleh. So Hud and Saleh, even though there's a few generations in between them, but they all go back, or both of them go back to one grandfather. That grandfather is Ad. So his name is Salih, the son of Ubaid, the son of Isa, the son of Mashid, the son of Ubaid, the son of Hadr, the son of Thamud, the son of Ad, the son of Iram, the son of Sam. And Sam is the son of who? Nuh alayhi salam. And that's why Hud and Salih are cousins. Even though this fee is in between them, maybe even a few centuries, Allahu A'lam, this fee is in between Hud and Salih. Hud came before Salih, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the nation of Hud before the nation of Salih. But at the end, both of them are Arabs, and both of them go back to and connect to one grandfather, and that grandfather is Ad. And Hud, as we mentioned, Hud lived in Yemen. Hud lived in Yemen. And Yemen is in the southern eastern part of the Arabian Peninsula. So in the southern eastern part of the Arabian Peninsula. As for Salih, and the nation of Salih is called Thamud. The people of Salih are called the people of Thamud. And their prophet and messenger, his name is Salih. As we mentioned, Hud is the prophet and his nation were called Ad. So the nation of Ad, their prophet is Hud. The nation of Thamud, their prophet is Salih. As for the nation of Thamud, they lived up north towards the west. In an area that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called in the Quran al-Kareem, Al-Hijr. And Al-Hijr is about 380 kilometers northwest of Medina. So you've been to Medina, Mecca is down here. And then northwest Mecca, by 400 kilometers, is Medina. Then another 400 kilometers, or just around that 380 kilometers towards northwest, comes to the dwellings of Thamud, which is towards Jordan. Towards Jordan. So Ad, they lived in the southern part of Mecca. And Thamud lived in the northern part of Mecca. So they two different tribes, even though are both Arabs and even though both of them originate from one grandfather, but they lived in two different areas. And remember last week when I mentioned to you the original Arabs, all Arabs originate from Yemen. Then later on they've been Arabized. Later on they've changed. Even Ismail alayhi salam wasn't even an Arab. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not originally Arab. He comes from the offspring and he comes from the lineage of Ismail, that Ismail alayhi salam became an Arab. He Arabized himself. So originally he's not an Arab, then he became an Arab. So the offsprings of Ismail, who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also comes from, they are not originally Arabs. All the Arabs originate from Yemen, and that's another story that we'll talk about when we talk about Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the tribe of Thamud that we are talking about tonight, and the tribe of Ad, which is the tribe of Hud alayhi salam that we spoke about last week, both of them are original Arabs. Both of them are original Arabs. And subhanAllah, Arabs these days are stubborn people. Can you imagine the original ones? So we're talking about stubborn nations here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to Ad, Hud. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to Thamud, Salih alayhi salam. So the tribe of Thamud, or the nation of Thamud, they lived in the northern west side of Medina. So in the northern side of the Arabian Peninsula. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him strong abilities. The same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the tribe of Ad. They were physically strong. They were very big, gigantic. And as I mentioned to you, they even had that strength that one of them will even grab a palm tree with his own hand and pull it off. These days you need a bulldozer to take it out. These guys with their hands, their bare hand, will grab a palm tree and take it off. They'll pluck it from the ground. That's how strong they were. And don't think, wallah, oh, you know, you're going to go and try it. Don't even bother. Even another 10 people like yourself who try and take down a palm tree is not going to go down. You need a bulldozer these days. It's like very strong rooted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them strength. They were physically strength. They were physically strong. And Allah had given them a lot of physical strength. And they also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had also given them good understanding and good knowledge in carving the mountains and turning them into palaces. Like what we spoke about the nation of Ad, the nation of Hud alayhi salam. They used to carve the mountains and turn them into palaces. And they used to do that out of fun. It's not like they needed it, because they used to live in the plains and they used to live in big massive tents, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that about the tribe of Ad. Likewise with the tribe of Thamud. They used to carve the mountains and turn them into palaces. And these palaces exist these days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even makes mention of that in the Quran Kareem, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَادًا وَثَمُودَ وَقَدْ تَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ مَسَاكِنَهُمْ أَوْ تَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ مِنْ مَسَاكِنِهِمْ. And Ad and Thamud, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you see, they're dwelling with your own eyes. If you go to their places right now, you'll see them. Amazing palaces. Something that really blows your mind away. You know, like it just, it's amazing. Subhanallah, you would look and say, how did these people do that thousands of years ago when they didn't even have the technology that we have these days? Imagine big massive mountain that turned into a palace. Not only just from the outside, not only the facade, even from the inside. Like, you know, I've been to Petra in Jordan. I don't know who's been there. MashaAllah, it's just so amazing. And not only just, you know, any carving, you're talking about very structural, engineered, balanced carving. You don't think, wallah, oh, something will be out of place or imbalanced. Very balanced, very clean, very set. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. And the tribe of Thamud, which is the tribe that we're talking about now, or tonight, and that's the tribe of Salih alayhi salam. الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. Those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and Thamud, those that carved and dug into the mountains and turned them into palaces. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَادٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear that the tribe of Thamud, which is the tribe of Salih, came after Ad. And remember how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you succeed the nation of Ad, which means Thamud came after Ad. Not during the time of Ad, because some people make that mistake. No, they came after Ad. Salih came after Hud alayhi salam, and they were different areas. They were in different states. One was in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula, the other was in northwest of the Arabian Peninsula. وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَادٍ وَبَوَّأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْ سُهُولِهَا قُصُورًا وَتَنْحِتُونَ الْجِبَالَ الْبُيُوتًا. Allah says, and remember all the people of Thamud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you succeed and come after the nation of Ad, in which he carved palaces out of the mountains and he established your own palaces on the plains, on the land. So they used to have palaces in the mountains and they used to have palaces on the ground. فَذْكُرُوا آلَاءَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. They caused a lot of mischief. They had the same pride and arrogance as the nation of Ad. They looked at themselves, look at us, look how powerful we are, look how gigantic we are, look how strong we are. No one can stand before us, no one can withstand us. Same arrogance and pride, rather than thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a lot. أَتُتْرَكُونَ فِيمَا هَهُنَا آمِنِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعْيُونَ وَزُرُوعٍ وَنَخْلٍ طَلْوَ هَضِيمٍ. Not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them physical strength, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them the knowledge for them to carve palaces out of mountains, and for them to establish palaces on the ground in the plains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and we had granted them security and peace, and they had gardens full of fruits, full of whatever they wanted for, whatever they asked. وَنَخْلٍ طَلْعُهَا هَضِيمٌ. And even palm trees, from the most beautiful palm trees that you could even think of. A lady would just carry a basket on her head and just walk through the gardens, and then she'll come out at the end of the journey, or at the end of the garden, full of fruits without even plucking or without even picking the fruits. Subhanallah. Allah had given them. وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بِيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ. They used to carve the mountains and turn the mountains into palaces just out of fun. Not because they need it. They already have their palaces on the ground, but they used to do that out of a hobby. It's not like they need it. They used to do that out of a hobby. Subhanallah. That's how far their knowledge, and that's how far their luxury and their lavish life reached to, that we're carving mountains and turning them into palaces out of fun. Because they already have their palaces on the ground. They didn't need that. But out of arrogance, out of pride, look what we can do. You know, some people, they've got 5 cars. But they're so filthy rich, they buy another 10. Not because they need it, just to show off. Not everyone, of course. Not everyone, of course. But some people just do it just for the sake of show off. Just for the sake of show off. You already have, mashallah, 5 cars. What are you going to do with another 10 more? Just to show off. I'm not saying, inshallah, you have 50 cars. But the intention here, it's all about the intention. وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بِيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran al-Kareem, and you also carve the mountains and turn them into palaces out of fun and leisure. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ So now Salih is telling fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Allah azza wa jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon them a lot of grace and a lot of mercy and a lot of gifts, strength in their physical bodies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them trade. Allah had given them nice lands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them farms. Allah had given them gardens. Allah had given them this. Allah had given them that. Thank Allah. Thank Allah at least. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِعُونَ فِي اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ So what did they do? They started to worship someone beside Allah and deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And worship idols. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them Prophet Salih. Prophet Salih alayhi salam, he was from amongst them. He's from them. He's not an outsider or a stranger for them to say, who are you? They know who Salih is. They know the parents of Salih. They know the family of Salih. They know the lineage of Salih. They know the ancestors of Salih, because they all originate from the same ancestry. And that's why Salih alayhi salam, he was very respected amongst them. His family was a respected family. It was a noble family. He was respected amongst them. He was from the pioneers. He was from the elite. He was from the chiefs. They used to look up to Salih. He was a wise man, smart man, to the extent that when he started to call him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and emerged to be the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, they said, قَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا Before this time, that you start to say you're a prophet and a messenger, we used to hope for you to be our leader. We used to aspire for you to be our leader. We used to look up to you. You come from a noble family. You are respected. We know you as an honest person, wise person, forbearing person, smart person. But after this day that you tell us to worship someone beside our idols, now we've lost hope in you. Allah mentions that in the Quran al-Kareem. So Salih is no stranger to them. He's one of them. He's from the same tribe, from the same lineage, from the same ancestry, from the same color of skin, from the same language, from the same hood, from the same neighborhood. So they know who Salih is, and they had a lot of respect to Salih alayhi salam before the prophecy. But then, when he said, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ عُبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ O my people, worship Allah alone, as you have no one beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Lord. قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره هو أنشأكم من الأرض واستعمركم فيها Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one that created you from this earth, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the one that made you settle this earth. So worship Allah, the one that created you, the one that gave you, the one that sustained you, the one that provided to you, the one that gave you the land, the one that gave you the knowledge, the one that gave you the knowledge for you to even carve these mountains, the one that gave you the knowledge for you to establish these palaces, the one that gave you these beautiful gardens, the one that gave you this physical strength. Thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, worship Him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ So Salih continued to say to them, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, repent to Allah azza wa jalla, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to you. Allah will give you more. Allah will give you more physical strength. Allah will give you more gardens. Allah will give you more knowledge. Allah will give you more peace and tranquility. Allah will give you more security. Allah will give you more family. Allah will give you more children if you thank Allah and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and repent to Allah azza wa jalla. Another verse, Salih alayhi salam told his people, the people of Thamud, Ya qawmi, lima tasta'jiluna bis sayyati qabla al-hasana, law la tastaghfiruna Allah la'allakum turhamun. Why? Why do you haste and rush into committing sins before you do something and do something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon you? Fattaqu Allah wa ati'un wa la tuti'u amra al-musrifin. Obey me and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then follow and obey those people who want to misguide you. So he continued to remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell them to go back to Allah azza wa jalla, the worship of Allah, and to abandon the worship of idols and to run away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In return, they will continue to refuse to listening to Salih alayhi salam. They continue to deny the call of Salih alayhi salam and reject the call of Salih alayhi salam. And even to the extent they even start to make mockery of him, they said, أُلْقِيَ الذِّكْرُ عَلَيْهِمْ Out of all people, Allah chose you. You know this thing, who are you? Why you told me to do that? Who do you think you are? Exactly the same attitude. Same attitude. They had the same attitude to Salih alayhi salam. Who do you think you are? Why did Allah choose you out of everyone? What makes you more better than us? What makes you different than us? Did Allah just reveal to you out of everyone? بَلْ هُوَ كَذَّابٌ أَشَرٌ He's a liar. They started to even accuse him of being a liar. And not only that, they started to even accuse him of evilness. قَالُوا إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُسَحَّرِينَ Not only that, they even started to accuse him with the same accusation. Repetitive accusation upon every single prophet and messenger. Liar, deceiver, مِنَ الْمُسَحَّرِينَ He's been one of those who's he's either a magician or a magician cast a spell on him. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُسَحَّرِينَ It looks like that you've been cast with a spell. You are possessed. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا بِالَّذِي آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ They even went to the followers of Salih and they said, What do you say about Salih? So they said, he's a prophet and messenger of Allah. We believe in him. So they said, the one that you believe in, we disbelieve in. The one that you believe in, that are addressing and that are talking to the followers of Salih, the one that you believe in, we disbelieve in him. So they start to look down at Salih. They start to even oppose Salih. They start to even fight against Salih and the people of Salih. قَالُوا اطَّيَّرْنَا بِكَ وَبِمَا مَعَكَ To the extent they came to Salih and they said, we've lost hope. We've got no hope. We've got no happiness in your existence. اطَّيَّرْنَا بِكَ وَبِمَا مَعَكَ We are not happy in your presence. They start to even express their anger and agitation in the presence of Salih alayhi salam and the followers of Salih. قَالَ طَائِرُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تُفْتَنُوا So Salih alayhi salam as a prophet and messenger responding back to them. He's not going to retaliate for himself. He needs to respond in a way that suits his character as a prophet and messenger. What pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, whatever loss of hope that you have, this is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your people have been deceived. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي وَأَتَانِي مِنْهُ رَحْمَةً فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ عَصَيْتُهُ فَمَا تَزِيدُونَنِي غَيْرَ تَخْسِيرٍ He said, oh my people, like, I'm a prophet, a messenger of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that revealed this to me. And I'm here addressing you on behalf of Allah azza wa jalla. I'm telling you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to me. Who's going to protect me if I turn against Allah azza wa jalla? Who's going to support me if I turn against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I need protection myself. So I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on my side. It looks like that you are people who are only vying for loss. You are only clinging on, hanging on just to be losers. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship Allah azza wa jalla. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And stop disobeying Allah azza wa jalla. مَا أَنْتَ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا فَأْتِ بِآيَةٍ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ And at the end they said, What's the difference between us and you? You're a human being like us. We're human beings like you. What makes you more superior than us? You are claiming that you are receiving a revelation from God and God is speaking to you or communicating with you. What makes you better than us? Who are you to tell us this? If that's the case and you do claim to be a prophet and messenger of Allah who's communicating with Allah, then bring to us a miracle. Now they put the challenge. Bring a miracle. We want to see a miracle. Bring forth a miracle. Let us see that miracle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Salih, tell them, what miracle do they want? And listen to this. They are the ones who demanded for a miracle. They are the ones who asked for a miracle. So Salih tells them what he exactly want. So amongst each other, their chiefs, the chiefs of the tribe, they sat amongst each other with Salih and they start to make mockery of Salih. And they said, okay, you are saying that your Lord, your God, can bring us this and he can bring this and he could bring miracles and your Lord can make this and your Lord can make that happen and he could create and he could make this and he could make that. Yes. So one of them said, okay. And they make a mockery. They think, you know, oh, it's never going to happen, you know. It's like go and fly. You know, in Arabic as they say, ruh ballat al-bahar. Go and tar the ocean. It's never going to happen. So they start to speak to Salih alayhi salam. Okay. Your Lord is saying to us, for us to demand or ask for a miracle, or describe a miracle, and your Lord will fulfill it. Okay, one of them said, see this big massive rock? And they had a big massive rock right in the middle of the town. See this big massive rock? We want your Lord to take out of this big massive rock a she camel. They start to laugh amongst each other. Is this possible? When do you ever see a rock producing a she camel? So the other one started to add more mockery to the mockery, and he said, and not only a she camel, this she camel is going to be so big that we've never ever seen a she camel like this camel. And they start to laugh, ha ha ha. And the third one said, and you know what? That she camel must be pregnant at least 10 months old, ha ha ha. This will never ever happen. And then the other one said, and it's got to be red. And the third one said, and it's got to be so big enough. But they had a big well that they used to drink from, it's got to be big enough that could drink an entire water of that world in one day. And they are making mockery. You know, when someone says, you know what? How about let them fly? Oh, let them go to Mars. Forget about Mars. Let them go to the sun. Don't worry about this galaxy. You know, when people start making mockery, that's how they were with Salih alayhi salam. And you know what? We want this she camel to have full of wool. We've never seen enough wool. And this she camel must be this. And this she camel must be that. And this and that. And this and that. And they're just laughing their head off because it's never going to happen. So Salih alayhi salam tells them, if Allah azza wa jalla makes it happen, are you going to believe? They said, you know what? That's far-fetched. What do you mean it's going to happen? It will never happen. What are you talking about? How's your Lord going to make this rock produce a she camel? So Salih said, you just asked. And you just described, and you asked for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that you can't even imagine that will never ever happen. If Allah makes it happen, are you going to believe? They said, yeah, okay, no worries, we'll believe. So Salih asked Allah, suddenly, that big massive rock that they pointed out shakes. And what comes out? Exactly the same camel that they had described. Comes out of that rock. So big. The biggest camel in the history of mankind. So huge, so gigantic, with the same description of color and wool, and 10 months pregnant. So big enough to drink an entire water of one well. Subhanallah, they looked. Look, how did this happen? Do you think this made them to be believers? Only few believed. You just asked for it. But subhanallah shows you the arrogance of people. The ignorance of people. When someone is arrogant, someone is really arrogant. When someone is ignorant, someone is really ignorant. They're the ones who asked for that, and Allah gave it to them exactly the way they asked for it. And that naqa, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيَا قَوْمِ هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ آيَةٌ. What you asked for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it happen. Naqa is a shikamu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produced from that same rock that they pointed out, that she came with the exact same descriptions that they asked for. And only few believed. فَذَرُوهَا تَأْكُلْ فِي أَرْضِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for you? Allah azza wa jalla has given you exactly what you asked for. But the condition is, do not harm it. Don't touch it. Don't harm it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهَا شِرْبٌ وَلَكُمْ شِرْبُ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ. One day, you are the one that asked for it. They had a well, they used to drink from it. One day, this camel drinks from that well and no one's allowed to touch that well. The following day, everyone can go and drink from that well. One day for the camel, and one day for the entire tribe. Aren't you the one that asked for it? Allah gave it to you exactly. So right now, Allah fulfilled what you asked for. You fulfill what you asked for. So they had a big well, they used to drink from it every single day. The people used to drink from that same well, and the animals would drink from that well, the cattle would drink from that well, neighbors would come and drink from that well. But now the condition is, one day for the camel, and one day for the rest of people and animals. And subhanallah, that she camel gave birth. Didn't they say they wanted to see it? 10 months pregnant, and usually camels are pregnant within 10 to 11 months, and delivered birth to another baby camel. وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ فَيَأْخُذَكُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. If you harm it, Allah is going to punish you a severe punishment. Subhanallah. Allah says, إِنَّا مُرْسِلُ النَّاقَةَ فِتْنَةً لَهُمْ. We gave them that she camel as a test. To test them. You asked for it, this is why Allah gave it to you. What are you going to do? Imagine this happens to you. Imagine right now, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amongst us, and you say, you know, oh messenger of Allah, we want something out of this world, this and that happens, and it happens in front of you. You know what I'll do? I'll be in that corner of that mosque 24/7. I'll be in that corner 24/7, I'm telling you that from now. These people saw miracles with their own eyes. They disbelieved. We believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we haven't even seen him. And that's what Allah made us to be, the best nation. These people saw prophets and messengers, miracles with their own eyes. And this time that miracle came according to their demand, according to their asking, according to what they wanted. Different to Ad. Ad didn't ask for anything. Thamud asked. And they said, we want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And Allah gave them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 12. Even more than that. Subhanallah. But they disbelieved. And Allah Azza wa says, fitnatan lahum. It is a test. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test them. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَاهَا. This is the she camel, this is the camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the water. Didn't you say you wanted to drink from the entire world one full day? You leave it alone. You don't harm it. You don't go near it. If you do, Allah will punish you a severe punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that camel, that she camel, this big, massive, gigantic camel, exist amongst them. And every day, that camel will go and drink on its own the entire water in that well. The following day, the entire tribe, including the animals and cattle, drink from it. At the end, the shuhad, how long are we going to continue like this for? We asked for it, but it became a bala. It became a big test on us. We can't bear this. Who's Salah and who's his camel? And now the camel's got a son, or it's got a, it's got a child. We're going to bear this every single day. One day we drink and one day we don't drink. And not only that, but this big massive camel had petrified the other animals. Other camels, other horses, other cattle, when they see this animal, when they see that camel walking, they run away from it. It's too big. They've never seen something like that before. So now they've been deprived from drinking from their water every single day. It's creating fear in their animals. It's creating fear in other people. And it's causing a bit of discomfort for them. That's how they start to analyze and calculate it. وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ آيَاتِنَا فَكَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً. We've given them this sheep camel with their own eyes. They saw it with their own eyes. They touch it with their own hands. They've experienced it with their own lives. And we made it to be a verse. We made it to be a miracle for them to look at. But they couldn't bear it anymore. What's this? This is becoming too much of discomfort. It's becoming a problem. We can't bear this. One day for us and one day for the camel. And every time this camel walks past, all our cattle and all our other animals start to run away, and it shakes the ground under us. Like, you know, we can't bear this. So they said, فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. They're oppressed. And not only they're oppressed, but they even oppressed themselves. They said, we can't do this anymore. This can't continue going on. What's this? What's this animal that we are stuck with? We ask for it, we don't even care, but this guy Saleh is just a magician. He knows how to play with the magic more than anyone else. We don't care about him, we don't care about his camel. So the nine of them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَ طُرَةٍ. Nine people from the chiefs of that tribe got together and decided to kill and slaughter that camel. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ. Don't even harm it. Don't bring any harm upon this camel. But then later on, they sat down amongst each other and said, we can't bear this anymore. We can't continue living like this. We have to get rid of this camel. One day for the camel, one day for us. Every time that camel walks, all our cattle just run away and become petrified. We can't bear this anymore. So they got together and consulted each other and decided to what? To kill it. And they chose the most evilest and mischievous person amongst them. That the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even mentions his name. His name is Qidar ibn Salif. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَنَادَوْ صَاحِبَهُمْ فَتَعَاطَى فَعَقَرُ. They called their friend. Those nine chiefs called their friend. Who's that friend? إِذِنْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. The worst one amongst them. His name is Qidar ibn Salif. An Arab. Qidar ibn Salif. Even the name Qidar is an Arabic name. They called him. They said, look, we have to get rid of this camel. And this guy was known to be one of the most mischievous people to ever exist on the face of this earth. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, one of the most evilest of people from the beginning of time. And they've agreed amongst each other, listen, we need to be united. We need to be one front. Get rid of this camel. And this thing about this nonsense about Saleh that tells us Allah is going to punish us and this punishment, this and that. Who cares? We're just going to go and kill it. So they've agreed. And they've agreed to stick to each other. And they've agreed to support each other. And they've agreed to support each other and stand by each other. And now they go and look for that camel. Waiting for that camel to come down from the mountains. That camel every single day used to settle in the mountains. The camel and its cub. Every day. Goes and sits in the mountains, comes down, drinks, goes there for one full day, comes after 2 days. No one dares to go near it. They waited for it to come down from the mountain, the camel and its child. And the moment it came down from the mountain, they came near that camel, none of them, to take it down. None of them fled and got scared, except Qidar. He started to laugh. And with his sword, he hit the leg of that camel. He struck it, it fell on its knees, and he slaughtered it. The cub, or the child of that camel, saw what happened to his mom, he ran away. So they chased that cub and killed it. Big problem. It's not over yet. We finished off the camel, but what about that prophet that from time to time, every time comes with this new nonsense of his and tells us God is going to punish you and God is going to destroy you, and if you touch this and that, we have to get rid of him too. So they also planned to kill him. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. So they disbelieved in Salih alayhi salam. And aqr is when you, usually when you slaughter a camel, you need to at least tie one of the legs of the camel, because you're talking about big beast. It's not like a sheep. You tie one of its legs. So when you slaughter it, it falls. Otherwise, if you strike the throat and it's still got the four legs, then it'll start rampaging everyone. It'll start ramming everyone. So you need to at least, that's what they call aqr. Aqr is like tying one of the knees. And that's exactly what Qidar did. He broke one of the knees, made that camel fall, and then he killed it. And he was laughing. And there's another narration that says that when they managed to get hold of the son of that camel made three noises, sounds of fear, and they killed it. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his punishment. فَعَقَرُوا النَّاقَةَ وَعَتَوْا عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِمْ. They killed the camel and they went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and orders. وَقَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ اتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Oh Salih, you've been promising us and you've been threatening us that your Lord will destroy us, your Lord will send a punishment on us, your Lord will do this, your Lord, tell your Lord to bring it on. فَاتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا. Bring it on. Subhanallah, arrogance. With who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. With Allah. Arrogance, not against a human being. The creation of Allah with the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I read those verses and subhanallah, shiva. The people having arrogance against Allah. Oh Salih, you've been promising us all this time and threatening us all this time that your Lord is going to punish us. If we kill the camel, we've killed it now. Tell your Lord to bring it on. فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And let us see if you're a true prophet or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Salih, in which Allah said to him, فَقَالَ تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. 3 days Allah's given you. You have 3 days. Do what you want to do. Your last wish in 3 days. ذَلِكَ وَعْدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٌ. Salih came to them after Allah revealed to him. He said, Allah's given you 3 days. After 3 days, the promise of Allah will come and no turning back. So after 3 days, within the 3 days that we're talking about assassinating and killing Salih alayhi salam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Salih. وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even makes mention of those 9 people that will cause mischief on earth and never ever bring any goodness to people. قالوا تقاسموا بالله لنبيتنه وأهله ثم لنقولن لوليه ما شهدنا مهلك أهله وإنا لصادقون. They've agreed amongst each other to kill Salih alayhi salam, and then also they've agreed to go back to the family of Salih, and we've never done anything. They were afraid the family of Salih will retaliate. They've also agreed. ومكروا مكرا ومكرنا مكرا وهم لا يشعرون. They planned and plotted, and we planned and plotted without them even realizing. فانظر كيف كان عاقبة مكرهم أن دمرناهما قومهم أجمعين. Look at their planning and their plotting. We destroyed them and the entire tribe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them 3 days. After 3 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them the first punishment. See, with Ad, Allah sent one of punishment. With Thamud, no, not one of punishment.
I didn't ask for a miracle. They just disbelieved in the Prophet and Messenger. But with Thamud, they've asked for a miracle, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them exactly what they asked for, so they disbelieved, which means what? Double trouble. It's double trouble for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them, not once, not twice, but three times. 3 days. After 3 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them the first warning. Their faces start to turn to yellow. So they start to cry. Then their faces turned red. So they knew the punishment is coming. After the third day, their faces turned black. Literal black. Literally black. First day, faces turned yellow. Second day, faces turned literally red. Third day, faces turned literally black. They knew that the promise of Allah is coming. So they start to cry and weep. And they start to scream and shout. And they start to call upon Saleh. And they start to ask. And they start to turn. And they start to toss around this and that. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until Allah azza wa jalla sent the following punishment. Rajfa. Allah shook the ground from beneath them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook the ground from beneath them. So they died from the shaking of the ground, from petrifying. Subhanallah, they were already dead before the second punishment came. In which, imagine you're looking around, you look at someone, his face is black, and you look at yourself, you say, your face from being white into black. You're already half dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook the ground from beneath them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them a sayha. What's a sayha? The scholars say, a sayha in Arabic, a shout. When someone screams or shouts, it's called the sayha. There was a huge, loud scream coming from the horizon, from the skies. They've never heard it before, that made them even petrify, even die. One punishment after the other. But what type of punishment? It's not like the punishment of Aad, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them the wind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them the thunders. That petrifies it, but you see it from the outside. This one, they were dead from the inside. Allah killed them from the fear. You know, when someone's like, their heart splits from the fear. Allah Azza wa Jalla made them die just from fear. From looking at each other's faces. From listening to this sound. From the ground shaking from beneath them. Until they all died. No one was left. Except Saleh alayhi salam. And the people that left, believed in Saleh. فَتِلْكَ بُيُوتُهُمْ خَاوِيَةٌ بِمَا ظَلَمُوا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even makes mention about their houses. Their houses still empty till this day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even makes mention, we made their houses, we made their palaces exist till this day for you to learn. فَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَقَدْ أَبْلَغْتُكُمْ رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ. With a broken heart, Saleh. These are my people. Some of them are my cousins. Maybe even some of them are brothers. I grew up amongst these people, my friends, my kins. And it says, oh my people, I gave you an advice, but you refused to listen to me. What can I do to someone that refuses to listen to those who are giving them genuine advice? And he continued, Saleh alayhi salam, and he moved to Palestine. And some narrations say that he died in Palestine. This is the tribe of Thamud. Their prophet, his name is Saleh, a great righteous, and his name is Saleh, righteous prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah azza wa sallam, to the people of Thamud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen and hear, act upon what they listen and hear. May Allah protect us, ikhwan, and always follow the commands of Allah, you'll be safe. Follow the orders of Allah, you'll be secured. Turn away from Allah, you're not going to have anyone on your side, even though you think you've got the entire world on your side. Inshallah, not next week, or even the week after that, the one after, because tomorrow I'm going to Umrah. We will continue with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Prophet Ibrahim is a great prophet, one of the greatest prophets. Some of the scholars say he is the greatest prophet and messenger after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His story is an amazing story that speaks about the perseverance and steadfastness of any righteous believer. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen here and act upon who listen here.
Some dreams to be up in Jannah. It pies person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.